When we look at now the expectations, and is there anything that you can compare it to, and maybe what even Jack Campbell is feeling? He never came in with the pedigree that you had had once you signed with Toronto. And I'm just wondering, is he feeling that much more than possibly you did? Because you always had that experience and you had that bona fide number one status already. This guy, we're still not sure.
Yeah, I agree with you. We're still not sure. And obviously he's a first round pick. So he, you know, at one point he was highly acclaimed. Last year he proved himself, which is great. But this market in Toronto, it's what have you done for me lately, obviously. And there'll be question marks for sure around the goaltending. I don't think Mrazek's played more than 40 games in a season. So he's not coming in as the guy that carried the ball, you know, long term. So Jack gets to start tonight, and, you know, his coach gave him the ball and for what he did last year. I love the way he plays. And my kids actually text me and go, hey, Dad, you got to watch Campbell play when he first got on the team. He looks like you out there, the style. And first thing I noticed, I flipped it on, and I noticed, I go, oh, yeah, he's got a small butterfly like me. Not this huge butterfly that takes up the whole net. And then I go, wow, he really does look like me. Anyway, so it's good. So I'm a fan. I'm a big fan. And he's feeling the pressure, but it's game one, and it's a long season. That's how you got to look at it.
I love that you mentioned his playing style, because that was something I wanted to ask you about. Like, when you watch the NHL today, how do you feel about how goaltenders play now versus, I feel like when you played, it was a lot more athletic and reactionary. You know, as you mentioned, Campbell seems to be having success like that, but that seems uncommon today. How do you feel about goalie playing styles now compared to when you played?
Yeah, a lot of them look alike, and you probably agree with that. They're 6'5". Great butterfly, cover a lot of net. They've had goalie coaches since they're 4 or 5 years old, so their technique is impeccable. And I remember guys coming in and thinking to myself, how does this guy ever let a goal in? You know, they just cover everything. But, you know, as things goes on, it's the best league in the world, and goals do go in. So, I tend to cheer for the guy who's under 6'2". I know it's crazy to say that. That's a small guy these days, but I like watching a guy who's athletic and has to think the game, has to play the angles, and can make a sprawling save. Marc-Andre Fleury comes to mind. I love watching that guy play. He's so athletic and so good, you know. So I'm a fan of that kind of goaltending.
He is the complete package when it comes to a mixture of maybe percentages and that athleticism that you speak of. You know, Cujo, I was watching Toronto play Ottawa in Ottawa, and I think it was Engvall's goal. He was standing flat-footed, basically, top of the circle, and Matt Murray needed to go post to post, and he went down before the puck even left Engvall's stick. And I sent out a tweet, and I froze it with the puck still on his stick. And there is a 6'4" guy down giving up the top half of the net. And at the end of the day, do you not want to take every ounce of bigness that you have and just block a puck with your mere size? Why would the goalies today instinctually go down?
Well, that's how they're taught. Like the percentages do come into play, that, you know, a shot from the point. I forget. I don't know what the, you know, back in our day before analytics, you know, I knew that a lot of the shots from the point, 80% were going to be below the knee because they didn't want to kill anybody. But when Al MacInnis or Ray Bourque got inside the top of the circle, percentages say 95% it was going in the top half of the net. So these are things that I thought about as a goalie playing the percentages, but there are big goalies that play small and small goalies that play big also. You know, I can't think of an example right now, but when you see them, you know them. Like, I remember guys coming down to me at the other end in practice and then be a 6 foot five guy at the other end on our own team in practice. And they go, Cooch, I can't see any net on you. Tell him, play bigger. How is he that big? And I can see all kinds of net. So that tells you right there that there's a big guy down the other end playing small. In practice, guys can see it. And that's probably the best indication. So, you know, I think Fleury and, you know, Jack Campbell, too, does a great job. He says he's listed at 6'2". I don't know if he is or not. But I think he does a good job of covering the net and playing the percentages and thinking the game. I like the way he plays.
You know, one thing that I think about when you played too is I think five goalies in NHL history played more games than you. Like you go through your year-by-year stats and it's like 70 games, 71, 71. That ain't the case anymore. With Jack and Peter sharing the net as a tandem, how do you feel about the idea of tandems in general? Is that an effective way to run things, or do you think that there still should be goalies that are hockey players and playing as much as everyone else?
Well, it can be. It definitely can be. It's kind of the new norm. I'm from the old school where I liked playing all the games and never got tired. And, you know, you feed off that. And I like that, having a go-to guy, just like you have a go-to center, go-to power play, you know. But this is a different world we live in. I think the goalies are a little closer in talent level these days with the size of the guys. But it can work. But make no mistake, it's a competition between the two guys to get into the net. Like your friends, your teammates and everything, and you want your teammate goalie to play good and great, but you want to play that much better. You know, so it's a competition, and it's a grind every day. So I think Mrazek, I like him as a goalie. I was talking to one GM years ago, and he was like, oh, he's too small. I'm like, too small? This guy's an athlete. He's 6'2". What? And a prominent GM. I'm like, really? It kind of shocked me. And then I like him. I think he's a great athlete. He's got to stay healthy. So Mrazek's issue is going to be whether he can stay healthy for a full season and take the bull by the horns. And Jack is continue on where he's left off and be the number one guy.
Okay. Perfect. Segue to where I want to go, because it's really unconventional where you see what is perceived as your number one goalie making half the money than the guy who's sitting on the bench tonight. And I get it, Jack Campbell, like, you got to be a dick to not like this guy, cheer for him, or want to be his friend. But you touched on it, Cujo. He has something I want, and that's the net. Now, it's one thing to be backing up you where it's just crystal clear. I'm never going to be the number one goalie. Mrazek comes in here and has to be thinking, I want that net. I mean, how does that play out internally for these two?
Well, there you go. You just said it, too. They gave Mrazek all the money. So... and now you're starting Jack. I mean, Jack's got to be like, well, you know, I'll just keep on doing what I'm doing. And maybe Jack Campbell plays better under that underdog situation. Everybody's different. Everybody's motivated differently. So maybe Jack is perfect in that position. I see that the guys play so well for him, too. So he must be a very likable guy. I don't know Jack. Hopefully I'll get to know the players again this year. we'll get back to normal. But, guys seem to play well for him. He's the underdog. I'd like to predict he's going to do the same thing, but Mrazek's got to be like, they're paying me all this money. I want the net. I want to prove myself. I want to earn that money. I want to be the guy. And getting back to another point that I didn't make, I like having a guy, because when your team goes, oh, he's a net, we can take some chances. We can take a little risk. This guy's in net. If you got two guys and you're like, well, he's playing good, he's not playing bad, I don't know if we can play loose tonight. I like it when you have a guy that dominates the net, he's a star in there, and the guys play looser and take some offensive chances, and that way you can win some games when you not normally would. But I think Jack's perfect for that underdog role, underpaid role kind of thing.
You know, one thing that Leafs had going for him in net for a long time there with Freddie Anderson was, like, just cool as a cucumber. Like, media didn't faze him. Like, nothing really seemed to faze him. Campbell seems a little bit more emotional, and Peter Mrazek is about to experience the market. How different is it playing in Toronto than in other markets?
It's hugely different. I remember going back to St. Louis after playing in Edmonton and playing in Toronto and going back there, and I was just like, whoa, this is wow. I was here in my 20s and I thought this was pressure, but it's not even close to being in Toronto. Toronto is the epitome of pressure cooker scrutiny, media scrutiny, because you have so many media outlets and it's the hub. And you know what? If you're playing great, which you hope you are, it's the best place in the world. But if you let it slip, you got to find a way not to let it affect you. And that's the trick. Maybe I can sit down with these guys and Mrazek and talk to them a little bit.
It is a tough trick, Curtis, because and Justin just touched on it with the mental part. And you mentioned he was a first rounder, but that was like 10 years ago. And like the talent is there. We see it. Mm-hmm. We saw it during stretches of 11 game win streak. And we saw it in training camp. Like there was never any reason why this guy shouldn't have been a starting goaltender at some point in his career. Yet here we are 10 years later, and he's fighting for it for the first time. And there was a couple instances last season where I watched him in his post-game comments, and there was one where he said, "This loss is on me. I let the guys down. I let them down." And the other one was game 7, the biggest game of your life. And he says in his post-game that, "I just let the worst goal in my career." And Curtis, I'm going, buddy, even if you feel that way, do not ever utter those words out. And I think if it's one thing that's held Jack back, it's he's so hard on himself.
Yeah. You know, you can be hard on yourself internally and behind closed doors, but you can never let that honesty, unfortunately, out, like you said. And how did you feel when you heard that? You know what I mean? Like you kind of cringed, right?
Worried about the guy.
Yeah, right? It's like, you know, somebody stay with him here, because he shouldn't feel that way. We all get disappointed but we should always believe in ourselves. And even if you feel that way, that's just an internal thing that you need to manage on your own.
You know, Kipper, I'll give you a perfect example. It leads into this. I remember playing in a 7-game series, and the other goalie on the other side said, "Well, I hope Curtis thinks I'm a good goalie." It was game 7. I hadn't played very well in the series, and I grew 2 sizes. I'm not kidding you. Those little things, you know, it just makes a difference. You cannot say them. You know, I always tell young goalies, I say in the NHL, I say, guys, never say when you play a bad game, because they'll run it and they'll play it again in your worst times. They'll keep playing again. Always deflect that. You'll get out of it. You'll get out of it before you know it. You're the one who knows that you're in a struggle. We'll say everybody catches on a little bit later, but don't ever say it. Anyway.
Okay, let me ask you something here. He's turning 30 in January. Can he still learn it? Can he get over a hump here, and can he do it in Toronto? In this market, like I like his chances better doing it in Arizona or Carolina or Tampa Bay, but can he find that mental toughness in this market when we know how it fluctuates from game to game?
Well, you know, he must have mental toughness, you know, like he must have it to be able to get through the season like that and play in big games and playoffs and everything. It's just that he's a completely honest out there kind of kid, which if you're his friend and teammate, don't ever change. Like, we love you for it. That's why guys rally and play well for him, because they love how open and honest and the accountability he takes. But I just don't know if you can say it in the media. That's the only thing I would say. Just, you know, just don't add fire to something that may be just little in one game, one goal, one shot, you know?
Yeah. So, and there's no question that you do sense that, JB. You sense that the Leafs really love this guy, and he's genuine, and he's sincere. And again, how can you not cheer for this guy?
Yeah, no question. If he could just have that, and then just be like, guys, I got, you know, I'm going to play. I got this game, or, you know, say in the media, that's one game. We'll see what happens tomorrow. Type thing, and have that combination of grit and open and honestness and accountability. I mean, that just covers all the bases, right? And then play well, which is great.
Yeah, that's a huge part of it too. The you know, I wonder about the idea of how you present yourself as a goaltender to your team. You know, that sort of, do you need to steel yourself? Like, I understand in the media not saying anything at all, but, you know, were you a guy that believes in the whole apology to a team and saying you're sorry? Like, you're, as a professional athlete, mistakes happen, but some guys like that where, you know, you hold yourself accountable publicly in the room.
Yeah, there's a lot to it. I tell goalies, you're in a leadership position, whether you like it or not. Like, you're on there for 60 minutes and, you know, you are a starting goalie. Like, I'll tell you what I used to do when I was struggling. Sometimes I would make that first save in the game. I would embellish it for my teammates, even though they knew I was struggling. I would embellish it, and I would look at the bench, and guys would be leaned over the boards, tapping the boards with their gloves. And look at each other, and I could hear the conversation in my mind. It was like, oh, Kucherov's ready tonight. Let's go, boys. We got it. And so that's the game within the game. And when you're hot like that, the team feeds off it, and they feel like they can go out there and maybe take an offensive chance, or, you know, which you have to take at times. So he's in a leadership role, and hopefully, you know, we're always growing. And he's, you know, he's new into this. Number one goalie role type thing, 1-1A, could be number one by himself. You know, those are the little things that set you apart, and then you grow from there, and your teammates go, this guy's got it, this guy's got it, the team's better. So I tell you, I would embellish that first save every once in a while, and first or second save, and just have my teammates rooting for me.
I did the same thing when I played road hockey on Moe's Hill,
but it, windmill.
It didn't do much for me. I can assure you. Just one last thought, Curtis. I want to go to you on, and we're talking about mental toughness with goaltenders, and one guy that I thought, you know, and we thought over his career just had ice in his veins, and you go back to those famous words where he told the Montreal fans to chill. And that's Carey Price. So, I mean, we talk about Jack Campbell, and then we see it on a certain side with Carey Price. Just your thoughts when you first heard about Carey taking himself out and getting some help that he desperately needs.
Yeah, so he must have been struggling with this for a while. That just shows you how good he is, you know, how mentally tough he is. And then if he doesn't take care of that, it's going to affect him after hockey and his family and other people in his life. And so he was big enough to say, listen, this is more than just the game I play on the ice. This is about my family, my health, my, you know, what am I going to look like in 10 years? Let's fix this now. And he is arguably the best goalie in the world. So, man, he must have some mental toughness to be able to play like he did last year through it all. And good for him. I mean, we all applaud him, and I want to see him back on the ice this year. It would be great, and be well, right?